John chapter 14, and reading from verse 15. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus replied, If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own, they belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. You heard me say, I am going away and I am coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not speak with you much longer, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold on me, but the world must learn that I love the Father and that I do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Come now, let us leave. Well, let's pray before we dive into this passage together. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you speak to us. We thank you that you send your Spirit to help us to understand these things and to apply them to our lives. And we pray for his help now that he would come, he would work in our hearts, he would change our minds so that we would live as you would want us to. Help us, Lord, as we look at your word. We thank you so much for it. In Jesus' name, amen. No one likes to be left alone. Well, maybe you do. Maybe you like a bit of peace and quiet. But we don't like to be abandoned. We don't like to feel isolated and alone. Maybe you've experienced this before when you've been away from your family for a few weeks. Maybe you were traveling for work. Or maybe your family were away and you were at camp. Or maybe you've just come home from camp and you're missing all your friends. You feel alone, you feel isolated. Maybe someone you love is no longer with you. Maybe they've passed away or they've moved to a different part of the country or even out of the country altogether. We don't like being left alone. Well, Jesus has just told his disciples that he's going to be leaving. In this passage, he's speaking to his disciples and he's talking to them about how he's going to be leaving very soon. But he's also talking about coming back. Look at verse 18. He says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Look at verse 28. You heard me say, I am going away and I am coming back to you. It seems like a paradox. How can both things be true? That Jesus is leaving, but he says, I'm coming back. I'm going, but I'm also coming. Well, there's a number of ways we can understand what Jesus is speaking about here. There's his resurrection in that he's going to the cross, but he's going to come back. There's his second coming that when he goes to the Father, one day in the future he's going to return, he's going to come back. But the focus of this passage is something different to that. It's very immediate and it's very personal. Jesus is leaving, but he is coming back because the Father will send the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. When we love Jesus, we are given the Holy Spirit. So first of all, the receiving of the Spirit is for those who love Jesus. Jesus said he's leaving and he's going to come back. But this coming back in this way, giving the Holy Spirit, is only for those who love him. We see the contrast in this passage between those who love Jesus and the world. Look at verse 17 very quickly. It says, the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. Look at verse 19. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. And look at verse 24. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. There's this contrast between those who love Jesus and the world. The world in John's writing, when we see in John's gospel, when we see the world, it's a word that he uses for the realm or the environment, the human environment that's in rebellion against God. And that's in need of salvation. The world cannot accept the Spirit. The world that's in rebellion against God because they did not accept Jesus. They don't know Jesus. They don't love Jesus. So how can they accept his Spirit as he's sent in Jesus' name? Outside of Jesus, people remain lost, isolated, like orphans. There's this phrase that's used in this passage, that Jesus isn't going to leave his disciples as orphans. Without someone to care for them, provide for them, look after them. And that's what it's like to be outside of Jesus. To not have his Spirit is to be like an orphan, is to be left alone. But when we love Jesus, when we're following him and in relationship with him, he doesn't want us to be left as orphans. Now, we don't have Jesus with us physically to talk with and walk with and ask for help from. But yet he's made a way for this. He asks his Father and he will give us another advocate or counselor. So if the disciples were going to receive another, we see this word used in verse 16, another counselor. This word in other places has a legal context. It really just means one to come alongside to help. One who's going to come alongside to help. But why does he say another counselor? We thought, well, it's not the Holy Spirit, the counselor who comes to help us. Well, they already had an advocate. So the fact that the disciples were receiving another means that the Spirit will fulfill a role parallel to the role Jesus had fulfilled to this point. The Spirit would come to continue the work of Jesus. He was going to do essentially the exact same that Jesus was doing for the disciples. He was going to be their advocate, the one to come alongside to help and to guide. The Spirit has come to continue the work of Jesus for those who love him. We're not left as orphans. Even though Jesus isn't here physically, he's not left us alone. He sent his Spirit to those that love him. Maybe we might think it'll be easier if he was actually with us. I know I've thought that before. If only Jesus was here, actually with us, well, it'll be easier. I could maybe talk to him. He'd help me. He'd guide me. Well, we could think about it this way. It actually is easier with him because he actually is here with us by his Spirit. He sent his Spirit to live in us. And we see this amazing reciprocal dwelling happening in this passage. Look at verse 20. On that day you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. There's this incredible relationship that's beginning when Jesus comes to live in us by his Spirit. That it's okay that he's not here physically. In fact, it's better that he's given us his Spirit to live in us and to help us. We are in Jesus and he is in us. In our day-to-day living, if we love Jesus, then the Holy Spirit dwells in us. And he's carrying on that work that Jesus began on earth. Carrying on that work to proclaim who Jesus is and what he's done. Carrying on that work in our lives to change us. He's come to help us and be with us forever. He hasn't left us alone to make our way through this life and to live for him. We've been given his Holy Spirit, his very presence, God himself living in us. And we can rely on his work. We can rely on him in every situation that we face. The Spirit is working in us and helping us. So when we love Jesus, we're given the Holy Spirit. This means that we are brought into the loving relationship of the Trinity. Maybe you've noticed as we've been reading through this passage, the circles of love. These circles that seem to be going round and round of love. Jesus taught about his relationship to his Father, and we get a glimpse of that at the end of our passage. Look at verse 31. It says, "But the world must learn that I love the Father, and that I do exactly what my Father has commanded me." The Father and the Son and the Spirit have enjoyed this eternal relationship of love and community together. That is the most loving relationship to be found. That's how we can say that God is eternally loving, because he has been loving for all eternity. Within the Trinity, Father, loving Son, loving Spirit, this circle of love for all eternity, that's why we can say that God has been loving for all eternity. This beautiful, loving relationship that has always been there. Maybe you've seen a loving family together when you were on holidays, or a loving friendship that you've seen and you've just longed, wouldn't it be amazing to have something like that? I'd love to have a friend like that, or to be in that group. They just seem to love each other well and look after each other. We long for those loving relationships. Maybe you've even experienced being accepted then into that circle of friends, maybe even that family, entering into that family, experiencing the love that's there. Well, we see in this passage that we are brought into the very relationship of God, into this loving relationship of the Trinity. We're invited in. Look at a few verses. Look at verse 20 and 21. Here's one of those circles. "On that day, you'll realize that I'm in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he's the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him." Look at verse 23. Here's another circle. "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." The Father and the Son, they will make their home with us. What an amazing thought that God the Father and God the Son would come and make their home with us. They would dwell with us. They would be with us. Bring us into that loving relationship. They would include us in. They'd invite us in. But how does that happen? It's by the Spirit. The Spirit comes and he brings God to us. He is God himself, and that fellowship that they enjoy, we experience that. I wonder, when was the last time you moved house? Hopefully it wasn't too recently. They can be quite painful memories, can't they? Maybe you miss your old house, but maybe it was just such hard work moving everything from one house to another. You pack up all your things into boxes, put it all in a van, and then you arrive to your new empty house, totally blank, and it needs your care and attention. You unpack. Over the next few weeks and months, you begin to make it your own. You clean, you paint, you decorate, maybe you build, maybe you knock some things down. Well, that's the sort of imagery that John is using here. That the Father and Jesus, they come to make their home with us by the Spirit. They come to be with us, to live in us, and to make the place their own. The Spirit begins to work on us, cleaning, painting, decorating, building, knocking things out of our lives that shouldn't be there, shaping us to be like the one who lives in us. What an incredible thought that the God of the universe would choose to make his home with us. Of all the places that he could go, he chooses to come and live in us. We're no longer orphans. We're not left alone. We're part of a new home. A home with the Father and the Son by the Holy Spirit. And this means we can have peace. Look at verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. As people with the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, as our comforter, our advocate, our counselor, the one coming alongside us to help us to live for Jesus and to be like Jesus, well, we can have peace. The Spirit brings peace to our lives, and we don't need to be afraid. This isn't the kind of peace that the world offers, peace made by treaties, or peace through fear of attack or retribution. In Jesus' day, there was something called the Pax Romana. Maybe you've heard of this. It was like the peace that the known world enjoyed because of the Roman Empire. But this was peace by the sword. If you stepped out of line, there wouldn't be peace for you. But there was peace for this country. This isn't the kind of peace that God offers. This peace, by his Spirit, this is a completeness, a wholeness that we can enjoy in him. This word shalom that is used, this peace, this fullness of life that we can have by his Spirit. That means in hard times and in easier times we can have peace because the very presence of God lives in us. He's our advocate and friend, and we don't need to be afraid. Maybe when friends around you laugh because you follow Jesus, well, we can have peace. When work gets tough or you lose a job altogether, we can have peace. When we're uncertain about the future, how things might go or turn out, well, we can have peace. Now, it's not to say that all of those things will be easy to deal with, but we can have the peace that comes from the Holy Spirit, a friend with us, that new home in us, as we enjoy that loving relationship with the Trinity. So when we love Jesus, we're given the Holy Spirit. This means we're brought into this loving relationship of the Trinity, and we will keep his commands. We're not left as orphans. God himself comes to dwell in us. And if we love Jesus, we will keep his commands. Look at verse 15. There's a few, you might have seen it dotted all the way through this passage. Verse 15, if you love me, you'll obey what I command. Verse 21, whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. Verse 23, Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. If we love Jesus, we will do what he asks of us, and we will walk in the ways that he calls us. Now, this isn't a grudging obedience that we stick our shoulders down and we're slumped because we want to do something else, but we're forced to obey Jesus. No, this is a joyful response to who he is and what he's done. But amazingly, even this, we don't need to do it alone. Remember, we're not left as orphans. God's Spirit has come to dwell in us. Look at what Jesus says about the Spirit's work to the disciples. Verse 16. He says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. As he comes, he will help us. He will be with us." This isn't a temporary arrangement, like a 12-month rental contract, or even a long-term lease on a building. The Spirit is with us forever. A constant help and friend. So when we step out to serve him, and as we step out to live for him, he's right there with us, helping us. He's equipping us. He's giving us what we need to do to live for him. And he's there to help us keep Jesus' commands. He gives us that desire to do it and the power to follow through in obeying Jesus. Loving God, putting him first. Loving other people, serving others' needs where we see them. Avoiding sin and wrong attitudes and behaviors, the Spirit is the powerful force within us to enable us to do that. We need him. And there's a reality that as we reject those things as Christians, we grieve him. Like a friend who comes to live in us, we grieve him when we walk away and do other things. But yet there's a road back to him, because he's always with us. Look what else Jesus says to his disciples. Look at verse 26. "But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." The Spirit will teach and remind us. He will teach and remind us. For the apostles, this was a very special thing, who went on to write down the words of Jesus. Something that was so important so that Scripture could be recorded and captured for generations of the church to come. The Spirit was working in their lives to remind them of all that Jesus said so that it could be recorded for others. And he was also teaching. He was helping them to see how some of the things that Jesus did made sense. We see this through the Gospels, that as we see a note from the author, later, after Jesus had risen again, they understood why Jesus did these things. That's the Spirit's work of teaching and reminding us. And the Spirit's working in our lives, not to be people who write down new words to create more of the Bible. The Bible is finished. The apostles and those who'd seen Jesus have finished God's word. But the Spirit works to help us in that way to understand those things that Jesus has done. To see, to let the lights go on. And also to recall the meaning of what's already written. He's going to teach us. He's going to remind us. As one writer puts it, as Jesus faithfully spoke the words given to him by the Father, the Spirit faithfully recalls Jesus' words, never deviating from the things he taught. So if we want to be sure, are we hearing the Spirit's voice? Well, what are we hearing? Is it God's word? Is God's word at the foundation of what we're hearing and doing and living? And it's in us that the Spirit teaches and reminds us of Jesus' words and commands. He gives us the strength and the ability to obey, and he teaches us and reminds us of Jesus' words. Maybe you've experienced this as you've read the Bible. Maybe on your own, doing a quiet time, or maybe in a group, maybe in a Bible study. As you were reading or listening, you suddenly understood something that never made sense before. You'd heard it a lot, but now hearing it again, you really get it. The Spirit works in our lives that the lights go on. We understand the things that Jesus did and how they make sense in our lives. Maybe you remember that maybe most clearly when you first became a Christian. That for years you might have heard the gospel, you heard about Jesus, but then suddenly something happened You understood it. You saw what Jesus did and how that was for you. That's the Spirit working in our lives. Or maybe you've experienced a time when you're speaking with a friend who asked a hard question. And then, unexpectedly, you just remember what the Bible teaches on that particular subject. The Lord helps you and gives you words to speak. Or perhaps you are about to do something, or you're even in the midst of doing something that's wrong. Something that you know isn't right. You're speaking harshly to a friend or to a brother. You're giving your friend the cold shoulder for something they'd said, when suddenly you remember, I need to love my neighbor. Or I should forgive as Christ has forgiven me. That's the Spirit at work in us, teaching us and reminding us. We're not left as orphans. He's with us, empowering us for the journey he's calling us to. And finally, we have the example of what it looks like to love the Father and to do what he commands. Jesus. Let's look at the last couple of verses. Look at verse 30. He says, I will not speak with you much longer, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold on me, but the world must learn that I love the Father and that I do exactly what my Father has commanded me. He was the one who perfectly loved and obeyed the Father. That was ultimately demonstrated at the cross. We get a sense of that in these verses, don't we? That the prince of this world is coming. Something's going to happen to me, but Jesus is saying, he has no hold on me. I am being obedient to my Father because I love him. He was the perfect example of what it was. It wasn't grudging obedience or being forced. He was willingly doing this by the power of the Spirit in him. It's that obedience that has opened the way for us to receive the Spirit, that God can dwell in us and make his home in us. So we are no longer orphans. When we love Jesus, he gives us his Spirit. We have his Spirit to be with us and help us. This means we're brought into that loving relationship of the Trinity, and we will keep his commands by the power of his Spirit. Let's pray. Father, we struggle to begin to understand how incredible it is that your Spirit would come to dwell in us. We thank you so much that you send yourself, your Holy Spirit, to come and to live in us, that you make your home with us, that you invite us into the most loving relationship that there is. You bring us in, you join us in. You don't leave us alone. But by your Spirit, you bring us to that loving relationship. We thank you, Lord, for his work in our lives, that he has brought us to know you and trust you, that he's working to help us to live for you. Lord, please let his work increase more and more in our lives so that we would be more like you and your Son, that we would be more like the home that you dwell in. Please help us. We thank you for your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.